It's good to see everybody here today. We have some sickness, but we are glad that we have been able to make it out, to be edified in our worship and praise, and to be edified by His Word. This morning we have in mind the subject of being members of one another, that is, learning to behave as members of the body of Christ. Because many times what we find is, if we're not careful, then we can become isolated in living the Christian life where we are not actively involved and in harmony with the Lord Jesus or with others who seek to be followers of the Lord Jesus. And what this lesson is designed to do is to remind us that not only do we have a relationship with Christ, but I have a relationship with other members of His body. That is, you, my fellow Christians and fellow partakers of the divine nature. God's people, His church, are those who submit to Christ and are saved by Him. His church is a group of individuals throughout the world who have decided to turn and obey the Lord Jesus by repenting and being baptized into Christ. His church is described in many different figures and in many different ways. There may be over 20, but I just point out a few. And these different ways describe different qualities that we are to have as his people. When we are described as sheep in a flock, that means that we should pay special attention to the voice of the shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, as sheep pay attention to their own human shepherds. When we're described as children in a family, that means we are spiritually like our Lord Jesus in the family. That we don't have a physical resemblance, but a spiritual resemblance. Just like we would have a physical resemblance usually to our parents. But when the figure is used of members of Christ's body, that His church is called His body, that describes a working together in harmony with Christ and with one another. That, more than any other figure, describes the relationship that we have both to Christ and to one another. There are obstacles that often face us, usually internal, where we are called upon to act against Christ as members of His body, His church. And these obstacles we must overcome if we are going to work together in a way that is pleasing to Him. To please Him, we must submit ourselves to Him as our head and to one another as members of His body. Members of one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, from whence our lesson comes. Romans 12 and verse 5, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. And in Ephesians 4 and verse 25, the same similar phrase is used. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. A lesson that is necessary for us to learn if we are to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus. What do we have in mind in our lesson? We have in mind to note that one body is governed by one head and one teaching. That the one body is composed of similar members. That many similar members, even though there are many similar members, but with differing functions. And that all members are necessary and valuable in the body, in His body. Let's start with one body, that is Jesus' church, governed by one head, that is Jesus himself, who has given us the apostles' teaching. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. And the body that he has in mind is Jesus' church. Colossians 1:18, he is also head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Jesus, the head of his church, his body. But that body, as we will note in various lessons to come, is composed of individuals who follow his one teaching. That's why we reject denominationalism, because it tries to make a body of bodies acceptable to the Lord Jesus. A body of various collections of members who follow different things. We have to reject that. That's not a picture of one harmonious body that follow a teaching. Follow one head. But this one body is headed by one that is Jesus, that gives one teaching. And this one teaching produces similar members. Whatever background we might have come from, whatever differences we may have experienced in our upbringing, if we should become members of his body, we become similar. We become like one another because we ultimately are becoming like him. Doesn't make any difference, the disparity in where we have come from. What matters is the one teaching to which we submit ourselves from our head, that we are becoming like him. Therefore, I am becoming like the fellow members of the body. We become like one another in a spiritual sense, having the same interest, seeking the same spiritual goals, following the same teaching, to be obedient in the same manner. We become similar, held together by the head and the teaching which comes from the head through the apostles. Jesus is head over one body, his church, composed of all who would submit to him to be saved. As we obey his one teaching, we please him and are spiritually similar to one another. If we don't feel similar to one another, then something is wrong with the teaching that we are seeking to follow. Then the body becomes broken into cultural segments or social segments or economic segments or something. But it is not based upon the one teaching of Christ. When we follow our own way, we attempt to divide his body. Because we have become divided against Christ, most importantly, and we've become divided against one another. But Jesus adds all who are obedient to him to one body of people. Acts 2 and verse 41 and Acts 2 and verse 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized and immersed in water. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. But what was he adding? Adding members to his body. Adding individuals to his church, that assembly of saved people. He was not creating multiplied differing bodies, but he was adding those who are obedient to the one teaching, the apostles' teaching. He was not adding members who were disobedient, like I heard our friend Mr. Stanley talk about, that we're saved by the sinner's prayer. No, we're not. We are not saved when we offer the sinner's prayer. If we were, we could read about it. We do not read about the apostles instructing anyone to pray the sinner's prayer. Therefore, it's not a part of the apostles' teaching. We follow one teaching on how to be saved and how to continue to be saved and be faithful. What does this produce? It produces one body of people who desire to follow the same thing from whatever background they have come through this world, in this world. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." And so we become a part of one body as we have been baptized into Christ, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sin, following the word of the Spirit. And whatever we are, or whatever we were, as we turn from our sins and submit to Him, we become similar members. Some people aren't satisfied with that. They want to retain some type of uniqueness that is not based upon the Word of God, and follow things that are not based upon the Word of God, and so they corrupt His body, His church. But if we follow His one teaching, we become similar in our thinking and in our behavior because we follow the Apostles' teaching. As we obey the truth, it is going to make us be able to function in the body as we should in His church. And vice versa, as we disobey the truth, we become dysfunctional in the body. We do not function as members of His body, as His children, as we should. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, "And He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ." That's why we're here, brethren. I need to be here because I need to be better equipped to live the Christian life, both when we're together and when we're apart. Because I'm supposed to be serving my Lord and serving mankind in a way that is pleasing to Him. And I'm supposed to be building you up and you building me up by the Word of Christ. I can't do that by myself. You cannot do that by yourself. It's impossible. Verse 13, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." So the idea is that it's all involved, that we become more toward unity with Christ based upon the knowledge of the Son of God. If we follow our own way, then we become divided from Christ, following whatever we desire. But as we become more unified with Christ, we become more unified together and more matured in His Word. Verse 14, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." We come here to learn what the truth is, and by learning what the truth is, we can distinguish between what the truth is not. And it is not from the head, so it will not be beneficial to me as a member of His body. It will be destructive. Verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ." Not only speaking, but applying the truth, we grow up. Not thinking the old way or acting the old way, but thinking differently and acting differently as the head directs. And what happens is, verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. But it's love that's based on truth, and it's truth that's based on the apostles' teaching. And as each individual part functions, then so the body grows, both spiritually and numerically. Just like every functioning part of our body, the more each individual part of our body functions correctly, then it makes it better on every other part of our body, doesn't it? And when one individual part fails to function, it makes it harder on every other part. Every time I sit down now, I feel it in my knees. They're stiff. The cartilage is wearing out. Cartilage is a small thing, but when it wears out, it affects everything else. And so you notice it. You can't sit down with the smoothness that you used to sit down without hardly thinking about it. You're more careful. And hope when you sit down, you can get up. But every part of the body affects every other part of the body. It's not in isolation. And so as we become more matured by following the one teaching, we become more like Christ and we become more similar to one another, not more different than one another. If we're becoming more different than one another in spiritual ways, then something is wrong. Something's amiss in the teaching. Verse 25 again. Therefore, laying aside, Ephesians 4, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. One body governed by one head, following one teaching so that members become similar to one another, and we just don't go off and follow our own way. Because the Lord intended us to work together. Following error causes division in the body. When I decide to follow a teaching that is not of Christ, then I cause division in His body, in His church. This is what we should follow, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. A lot of people don't like that. I want to follow whatever I want to follow. Well, Paul goes on to say, for I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What he's saying, it would be absurd to think Christ's body is divided and every member is going its own way, following whatever it wanted to do. And so when teachings come that differ from the Word of God that are essential to us to follow, then it is a threat to the body working properly. We cannot have churches where we just have, oh, I'm going to follow my own way. But what if your way differs from Christ? Then that is dividing the body. Dividing the members, just like the physical body. If the leg decides to go one way, the right leg goes one way and the left leg goes the other way, you'll have a catastrophe. And the body not only is divided when we follow doctrinal error, but it's also divided when we have ungodly attitudes toward one another. Then it becomes divided also. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Notice Paul mentions the positive attitudes, but we understand as he mentions these positive attitudes we are to express as members of his one body, that we can understand the negative that we are not supposed to express, that we're to turn from. Colossians 3 and verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility. What's the opposite of humility? Pride. gentleness instead of harshness, patience instead of impatience, bearing with one another instead of grudge holding, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you all, you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, the opposite of selfishness. Love, sacrificing for Christ and for one another, which is the bond of unity. Was that perfect bond? Which is the perfect bond of unity. Then he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, by to which you were indeed called in one body. And be thankful. Ungrateful, selfish, grudge-holding people threaten the body. Because that's the opposite of how we're supposed to be. The opposite. Instead of loving, forgiving, kind, patient individuals. And that's how the body continues together, working together, following the one teaching from the head. Although there are many similar members of the body, all seeking to be like Christ, we are different in our functions. Some are able to function in certain ways that others are not. Others are able to function in other ways better than others are, just like in the physical body. Certain parts can do certain things and other parts cannot. So in the spiritual body, His church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. Someone is better at doing one thing than someone else in the body. That's wonderful. Wonderful. But many times I hear members say, well, because I don't know as much about the scripture, or because I don't do that, I just don't participate that much. That's the wrong reasoning. We're not all alike in our functioning in the body. And it's when we disdain certain functions and, oh, they're not as important as others or whatever, then that's where we run into problems. Are all parts of your human body important that you want them to function? Is there any part of your human body that you're not worried about whether it functions or not? We may can get along without functions of certain parts. I get along without my right eye. We may get along with certain parts that do not function. I could get along without a left eye. We could get along without eyes, for that matter, if we had to. But that would not be our preference, would it? Yeah, we could get along, but that would not be our preference. And the church can go forward if certain members do not function, but that is not our preference. Everyone is meant to function according to the ability that the Lord blesses us with by His grace. And each is important in that function. Whether we speak in a class or whether we just listen in a class. Because the one listening is encouraging the one who's speaking. And the one speaking is encouraging the one who's listening. Isn't that right? If nobody listened, how would the one speaking encourage anybody? And if no one spoke, how would the one listening be encouraged? How'd that work out? And so it's not the excuse, well, I just don't feel that I'm as strong of a Christian as so-and-so. Well, whatever type of Christian you are at any given moment, you're part. If, as long as we're a part of Christ's body, then we ought to be a functioning Christian, whatever we are, a functioning member. Not the complaining, criticizing, excuse-making member. Romans 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Whatever ability we have to do is from God, that he has graciously allowed us to be able to serve. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. We are the same as far as following the same teaching, but we don't have the same abilities or proclivities to do various things all in the same manner and to the same extent. And we should not have this, we shouldn't expect that. And individually, members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each, given to us of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, that would be the miraculous here, teaching today would be similar, according to the portion of his faith. If service in his serving, or he who teaches, he says, he who teaches in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Just function as you ought to function according to your God-given abilities that we are developing based upon application of his most powerful word. But I want every part that can to function in my body. Do you? Sure we do. And so spiritually, when it looks in the body of Christ, his church, we should desire that every member function to the degree that it is possible. And encourage to that end. And then finally, every member of the body is necessary and valuable. That little finger is important to me. And every member of Christ's body is important to Christ and should be important to all Christians, whatever the functioning. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, but now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, now that would look funny, the head says, I don't need the feet. What are you going to do, walk on your head? But he's making a point. Every member of the body is valuable. The problem at Corinth was they were seeing some members as more valuable than others. They were rejoicing in the wrong thing, following the wrong thing. But verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. We don't even think about the little toe or the little finger, but try living without them. We may have to live without them because of injury or disease, but that's not our preference because it causes us other members of the body to be out of kilter. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Whereas, he says, our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body. God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. He's talking about how members complement, and I'm talking about how they supplement one another and work together with one another. But ungodly, selfish, arrogant attitudes, sinful, threaten that type of functioning of the body. Verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. I didn't add this to this lesson, but I will do it now. I may go back and change the lesson, or I may not. Our suffering and our rejoicing is to be governed by the truth of God. If I come in here and say, I want you folks to rejoice with me because we're all members of the body, I've just won the lottery. I get $50 million paid out in 25-year payments. And I want you to rejoice with me. Would you rejoice with me? No. Because it was won by the covetousness of gambling. It was not won by any labor that I have done. It was won by participating in the sins of the world. What I'm saying is, Paul said, we rejoice with the truth. We do not rejoice in iniquity or sinfulness. And he says, love rejoices with the truth, not in unrighteousness, in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the whole problem. The Corinthians were not to rejoice with the man who was committing adultery with his father's wife, committing fornication, that was committing sexual sin. They were to mourn over his condition. So what I'm saying is, Paul says we should rejoice with one another. If we suffer, we should weep with one another and suffer, have compassion with one another. That depends on why we're suffering. If we suffer because of sin that we have instigated, then that's one thing. If we suffer in a righteous manner because we're serving God, and therefore because of our loyalty to Christ, then we are being persecuted, or it's just the normal sicknesses of life that come upon anyone, whether they're Christians or not, that's another thing. But if we're suffering because we continue to violate God's will, then that's another thing. Maybe I'm suffering if I'm stealing from somebody and they try to come after their money and they're chasing me all over the city, then that's not the type of suffering I'm going to sympathize with. Neither should any of us. Because we should repent of stealing and stop doing it, and therefore we won't suffer from it. If you understand my caveat there with this passage. But if the word of God is being followed, then we should suffer. When one member of my body hurts, every member sympathizes with it. It should be the same way among the people of God. Even in this congregation, when somebody is hurting or suffering, then we sympathize and we have that compassion. When one member rejoices, especially over spiritual things, then we should rejoice and be thankful. So what have we learned in this lesson? We have spoken about that there is one body. But what questions can we ask at the end of our lesson, slide 26? Have I become a member of his body by repenting and being baptized into Christ? If I have not done so, then this morning would be the apt time to do so. That the opportunity that is presented to us, that we might become a child of God and be forgiven based upon what the Lord has commanded us to do by his grace. And then, do I desire to learn and apply his word as a member of his body? If I've lost interest in his word and I'm not concerned whether I study or whether I meet with brethren to study, then something has gone far wrong. And then the next question, do I desire to work together with other members of his body in the local church? That is why we're here. We're not to think about just ourselves and what we want to do. We think about the Lord Jesus and we think about one another, that we might work together and be the influence that we can be to one another and also to a lost and dying world that needs to be influenced. And then lastly, do I desire to show the same care and concern for each member of His body? If I don't, then something is happening to divide the body that we need to work on and we need to get straightened out in our lives. We belong to one body because of one head and the one teaching that we follow. We work together even though we function differently. We're the same type of people because we long to be like Christ more than anything in this world. More than anything in this world. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of Christ, why not become a member of His church, a member of His body, that you might be forgiven of your sins by repenting and being baptized into Christ? Those of us who are members of His body, let us work in harmony with Christ and one another and confess our sins that have prevented us from doing so, that we might go forward through the grace of the Lord and His cleansing blood, that we might be forgiven and continue on to more maturing in His body. If you're here and subject to that invitation, we're going to call upon anyone to come, but it is the Lord's invitation. This just happens to be the opportunity that He has blessed us with to obey it. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
I hear Thy
welcome voice that calls me, Lord.